Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
program, but I hope and pray that God will enable me to just come on without incident. Here I come again. So just pray that God will intervene in this program on tonight. Hallelujah. So like I have far stated, now you see this, I tell you, this is nothing but the enemy. Now, here is an interruption now. This is just too much. Oh, my God. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. But anyway, I hope and pray that I've got that out the way. I hope that I did. And I want to just reiterate, you are tuning to Blog Talk Radio. And your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so honored and delighted to be able to come back across these airways, hallelujah, and skyways on this morning, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. Hope and pray that you had a beautiful evening on last evening. We know that this is a new day. Hope and pray that you're encountering a beautiful day on today. And so I just want to take this podium and to thank all of my loyal and faithful listeners that continually to make the Old Ship of Zion a part of your listening program. And a part of your archive as well, because we know that my sermons are in archive. So you can always go back and just click on whatever sermon that you want to hear, you just click on. But this is a live church worship service. This is not a pre-recording, but this is live, coming to you live. This is now, let's see what time is it. I think it's about 1:08 a.m. in the morning. So this is a live church and worship service. So I just want to just continually to just thank those of you that continue to make this program a part of your listening program and archive. So may God richly bless you, you and you. And I also want to take this podium and to send condolences out to those of you that might have lost loved ones in the last 72 hours, 48 hours, 24 hours, 12 hours, 8 hours, 4 hours, 30 minutes ago, even seconds ago. And we do this to let you know that you are not alone in your hour of bereavement, but that you have men's and women's, young boys and girls that are praying, that know how to pray, that are praying with you, alongside of you, and for you, that God will restore your joy and return restoration back unto your spiritual soul. Hallelujah. So you are not alone. You might be alone, physically speaking. But spiritually, you're not alone. Naturally speaking, you might be alone. But on the spiritual realm, you are not alone. So we want you to just stay encouraged. Hallelujah. I am scheduled to be with you an hour. I want to try to keep it in that time slot. I don't want to be with you too long because I really want to go and lay down. I want to pray, and then I want to go and get me some rest because I've been up around the clock last evening, and I haven't gotten much rest. And so, as you know, you have to rest this whole heart and let it lay down and get some rest. So I've been going study, just at it, you know, just trying to reach somebody, anybody that has a broken heart, a broken spirit, dying in your spirit. You're lonely. You know, you don't have a friend. Well, I want you to know that you got a friend now. You got two friends. Jesus is your number one friend of all time. Jesus is more than a mother. He said he'd be a mother, a father, sister, brother, a lawyer. He'll be a lawyer in the courtroom. He'll be a doctor in the emergency room. So God will be all that we need him to be. And Overseer Ward will be your friend. Secondly, I'll be your friend. Hallelujah. So if you have any prayer petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to touch and agree, go down in prayer on a prayer petition that you have placed at the foot of God. At the conclusion of this program, you will be prompted in which to call in and make your request known. But until that time, we're just going to keep it as scheduled. And so, like I said, at the end of the program, I will prompt you with a call-in with your desired prayer request. So now we're going to go into our opening prayer because we know that time is of an essence, and we know that time has already been well spent. So I want you to just bow your heads as we go down in prayer at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and of your love unmeasured. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather together, God, in unity, once again, around the spectrum. Father God, you said, hallelujah, when you left, God, that you went away to prepare a place for us, and when you return for your bridegroom, that is the church, that you would come and receive us unto yourself. But until that time is upon us, God, we will continue moving upward and onward, in your will and in your way, mounting up from the four corners of this earth, starting from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims traveling through this barren land. I'm asking you on this morning, God, to anoint these lips of clay. Able me, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may, then again, may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. I'm asking you, God, to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to each and every individual that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. We won't take your praise, we won't take your glory, but we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask, your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. Let the temple of God and his people and the congregational assembly say amen and amen. All right, you can come aboard. We have the chat room up available for your sitting as well as your listening pleasure. Bring your chip, your dip, whatever you want to sip. Bring your OJ, your latte, your water beverages. Bring your all your digital devices. I call them our toys because we cannot live without them. They become a part of us. We breathe and live through these digital gadgets. We're living in a digital society, and digital is the way. So I'm asking you to bring your smartphone, your iPhone, your tablet, your computer, and whatever you have digitally, bring it aboard because we are in need of it. All right, so right now, without any further ado, we're going to take you into a live program that's already in progression. And our sermon on tonight, night, morning, whatever block you on around the world. If you say, Overseer Ward, it's day in my country. Well, it's night over here in mine. So if it's day in your country, well, hello to you and morning to you. But it is now night in my neck of the woods. So God called it night. So, you know, it can be night and still be day. It can be day and still be night. But I'm calling it night, but it's, we know that it's morning. But it's still dark in my neck of the woods. So the sermon on tonight, entitled Feeding the Wolf. I want to say that one more time. A sermon on tonight / this morning, entitled Feeding the Wolf. And we're going to read our first, let me turn this noise down just a little bit because I don't want you to hear it. I want you to hear me. Okay? All right. So, our first key scripture, let me turn this down. Look like it doesn't come back up again. I don't know why it want to be so loud. Okay. Well, I'll leave it right there because it looks like I can't turn it down any lower than what it already is. But anyway, we're going to read our first key scripture. And I'm just going to keep it down because I cannot. You can't hear me and hear that at the same time, at least not now because it's too loud. So I've tried to turn it down, but I can't get the volume to go down any, you know, lower than that. So I'm just going to just kind of keep it quiet until it's time for us to bring in the hymns of Zion because I really want to you to hear me in its clarity. So reading our first key scripture, and it reads like this. It says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Romans 13 and 14. All right, we're going to read our second key scripture, and it reads this. It says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Ephesians 4 and 26. And we're going to keep it moving right along. All right. Our next key scripture reads this. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Psalms 51 and 10. And you can write these key scriptures down and go back at your own time, you know, discretion, and go back and read them. I just give them out so you will know where I'm, you know, where I'm reading from. And then the next key scripture will be, I think this is our fourth key scripture, and it reads this. It says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. And that scripture reading is coming out of law, 1 Samuel 15 and 22. Our fifth key scripture is coming out of the law of Genesis 3 and 12, and it reads this. It says, the man said, the woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And that's the fifth key scripture, I'm sorry. And so our final reading reads like this. It says that God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape. And that scripture reading, my sister and my brother, coming out of the law of 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. So we're talking about sin, we're talking about temptation, we're talking about lust, we're talking about way of escape, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about how you can resist the temptation and the flesh, and we're just talking about how that God can keep you through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Ghost, through the anointing of God, if you are equipped, if you are doing everything that allowed you to safeguard your soul. Hallelujah. Because we know that you can easily get into sin. And you might say, high solvency award. You can easily get into sin because it is an easy thing to do. Because we know that the Bible says that the enemy, our adversary, known as Satan, Lucifer, he's the angel of the air. And he's the father of lies. He's got so many titles until I just, tonight, I can't even begin to include them in tonight's sermon. We'll have to do that another time. But I'm saying that Satan, M.O., his motive of operation is to come and steal. Steal what? Steal your joy. Steal your happiness. Break up your home. He's a home wrecker. Break up your happy home. Break up your marriage. You know, disrupt your family ties and make it a dysfunctional family. Instead of functional, he'll make it ill-functional. So he will bring all kind of disruption, disorder in your family. But you cannot let him. And the only way that you can do that is through daily praying. You say, well, say, Ward, I work all the time. I'm not able to pray, get on my knees in my secret closet. Well, let me tell you this. It's a lot of individuals that has been hurt, and whatever medium that they have been hurt, maybe they went to war, maybe they was injured in an automobile accident, maybe they lost a limb due to a disease. Many people are unable to get down on their knees, so you don't necessarily have to get on your knees to get a prayer through. That's not what we're saying, but we're saying that you have to stay prayerful. You have to stay in God's word. You have to stay just grounded in God. Hallelujah. So that when the devil come at you, you can tell him, you said, devil, I see you. And you open up your window, open up your door, and allow him out. Tell him to get out. He is not welcome in your home, in your workplace. He's not welcome in your family circle, in your circle of friends. He is not welcome. And so you can ask him out. And you can get him out by opening up the word of God, by putting on some Jesus music. You know, anything spiritual will run him off because he do not want to hear anything about the word of God. So you can send him off in a hurry. But we have to maintain our prayer time with God. That's so essential to our spiritual walk with God. And I just want to share a story with you, if I may. Hallelujah. I want to share this story, and it's about he was a Cherokee chief. And he was sitting in the midst of his grandson with a flickering fire. And his grandson had broken a tribal taboo, and he wanted to help him understand what made him do it. And he said, he described it this way. He says that it's like we have two wolves. We have two wolves inside of us. And he said, the chief said, we have a good side and we have a bad side. And you know, that's just like our taste bud, you know, inside of our mouth. We have a sweet side and we have a sour side. So the chief was explaining to his grandson, said that we have a good side, and then we have a bad side. But he went on to say, he said, but each and every one of those demands our full-fledged attention, and not only our attention, but it will demand our obedience. And so the little grandson asked him, said, well, Grandpa, who wins? And so the grandfather said, the one we feed. And so what this is saying, that when you feed that appetite to get into sin, see, and I think that's in the law of Psalms 119:11 says that, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So we know that we have to have the word so embedded in our heart that we know when the devil come at us with a tactic, we can stampede him in his tracks. Devil, I see you, and I'm binding you in the name of Jesus. And you can just pray the prayer of faith, and right there at that moment, it's done. Because we know that on your job, you know, there's always confusion, an uproar, people's talking and, you know, and chattering and just talking and should be quiet. But they're talking, trying to get disturbance, trying to get somebody to listen to them and make nonsense. But see, when you can steal away to God, hallelujah, and you can pray and ask God to just walk with you during the day when you're at work and when you're out and about in traffic, maybe at the doctor's office, you're at the orthodontic office, you're at the post office, wherever you might be, you got to take God along with you. Because if you don't take God, I guarantee you, he don't want to ride, but he want to drive. He want to take over your steering wheel, and that is Satan. Satan don't want to be a backseat rider, but he want to be the driver. He want to drive you. If he can drive you to hell, that's where his intention is to drive you to hell. If he wants to drive you away from God, that's his intention is to drive you away from God. He want to get you to backslide. He want to get you to commit adultery. He want to get you to just, let me try this new brand of cigarettes one more time. Let me go to the club one more time and get down, you know. Get out on the dance floor. I want to have one more date with Mr. Jones, old lady. I want to have one more date with Mrs. Jones, old man. You know, I want to hit him up one more time. Just one more good round. You know, I want to just go twerking one more time on that dance floor. I want to hit this joint one more time. I want to hit this pipe one more time. I want to sniff this glue and what's that, amphetamine and whatever it takes to get you high, to get you to reach cloud nine. I want to just try it one more time, just one more time, and that's all I ask. But don't let the devil deceive you, because he's a deceiver. He is the biggest con artist that ever lived on this planet. There's no one like him, and there shall never be no one like him. He is the world's worst. That's why he is labeled as our adversary, because he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But God said, I come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. See, you can have life in Christ Jesus. When the devil comes in like a flood, hallelujah, you can send him running. You can send him running, because you can tell that demon, you're not going to wreck up my home. You're not going to dismount my marriage. You're not going to get me to commit adultery. You're not going to get me to commit fornication. You're not going to get me back out there on those corners, you know, prostituting. I'm over here, and I'm in the vineyard where I'm safe. There is safety in Christ Jesus. There is no other place that you can find safety but in the safety of God. And so if you got your hands in God's hand, I would encourage you to keep your hand in God's hand. Don't let it go. And God said that anybody have their hand held to the plow, but looking back. So if you got your hand held to the plow in God, but you're looking back in the world to see how you can get out there and do one more get down, one more twerk on the dance floor, God said you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. So you, when you come out of the world, God said that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Behold, all things has passed away, and behold, all things has become new. So you are new and improved. You're the same person on the outside. So when somebody look at you, don't mean that you're going to turn into somebody else. But it means that you have a new characteristic about yourself. New demeanor, new grammar, new way of carrying yourself, new way of wearing your clothes. And like I said, sometimes you can't detect a Christian person from a non-Christian because they're all dressing alike now. They got tattoos. Here you go, the saints. They got all kind of tattoos just like the world. They bosom hanging out just like the world. They buttocks hanging out just like the world. They got a mini skirt that's up to their thighs just like the world. So the Bible says, come from among ye and be separated, says the Lord. You cannot walk hand in hand with the world and say that you are saved and sanctified and Holy Ghost filled, because the Bible says that you are a liar and the truth is not in you. See, so the Bible says that every follower of Jesus Christ can identify with the struggle of sin. We fight an ongoing battle, the Bible says, with selfish and sinful desires. They rise up within you and I and us, put incredible pressure on you and I and us to satisfy them. They are like ravaging hungers, unquenchable thirst. First, they are small and they are harmless desires, but all of a sudden, they grow stronger and can ultimately control you and I and us. And you can read that out of the law of Romans 6 and 16. But to resist, we must believe what the Bible tells you and I and us about temptation's power. We must also believe that the Holy Spirit will help us to resist or to break free from his power. But then comes the hard part. When an evil desire demands yours and mine's and our desires to feed it, we must say no. We must say no, and perhaps again and again. Paul tells us to make no provision for the flesh. So just remember, what we feed will control you and I and us. We have to say no to sin. We have to say no to sin. Hallelujah. And so we're talking about, hallelujah, feeding the wolf. Boy, that time is really getting on with here. So I'm gonna try to bump it up and try to get as much in here as I can, and then move along, because I know that, I got about 31 minutes left, and I got a lot to still try to cover, but I'm just going to hit here and there, and then, you know, I'm going to give you some hymns of Zion, and I'm going to also, prompt you in the calling for your prayer petition. But at this time, I'm just going to read a little bit more. And then, you know, like I said, I'm not going to be with you too much longer. I might bump it up maybe, maybe another 30 minutes. I'm not sure. But I'm going to see where I'll be when I get through. I'm going to see, you know, how much time that I have left. And then I'll go from there. But anyway, you know, it's just like, you know, sin is kind of like, you know, when we go into our homes and we ask ourselves, we ask our husband, our children, or whoever's around us and our surroundings, you know, you're asked, you know, how did everything get so dirty so fast? We grumble because we know that, You said, well, hey, I just dusted the other day. I just cleaned the glass on the tabletop, you know. I had the whole house clean just, you know, a month ago or 2 or 3 weeks ago. But we know that cleaning is a way of our lives. It's not an event. And we know that we want our houses to be clean. We want our cars to be clean. And so we want it to eventually stay that way. But we know that in our busy lives, in our busy agendas, with our kids, you know, we've been parents and grandparents, uncles and aunts, and you have little kids, maybe adoptive kids, maybe a niece or nephew that you're raising. We know that it is hard sometimes to keep it in the way that you would like for it to be at all times, you know. Yeah, I know it's a process because we want the house to stay clean once and for all. But we know that dirt doesn't surrender that easy. There's a speck there, there's a speck over there. There's dust over there, and the dust over there. The dust returns. Piece by piece, the clutter piles up. But sin is like the dust and the clutter that's in our home. We want to eliminate all of it with just one prayer or one confession. But sin doesn't surrender that easy. We know that thought by thought, bad attitude returns. Choice by choice, unpleasant consequences pile up. We find out that the Apostle Paul told the believers to get rid of the anger and the wrath and the malice, the blaspheming, the filthy languages. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Colossians 3:8. And he told the church to be angry and do not sin. He said that do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Ephesians 4:26. We know that Christ's death and resurrection eliminated the need for daily sacrifices. But confession and repentance are still essential to the Christian daily life. Getting rid of such things as anger, rage and malice is a way of life, not a one-time event. Hallelujah. So what we ought to do is resist the devil. The Bible says that he shall flee. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. You know, I am reminded of an individual that asked another individual, asked him that how long was it, what was the longest time, I said like that, what was the longest time in which he hadn't seen? He said, has it been a week, a day, an hour, you know? And so the individual said, how can I answer this question? Say, now, if I be truthful, said that we know in this old fleshly this fleshly spirit that we have, if we don't pray and we don't fast and seek God, we know that the enemy can come in. He can come in and talk to us and dictate to us into doing wrong and making wrong choices. You know? So the individual says, well, you know, how long has it been since you sinned? And so he said that he had looked back over the past week, and he said that if he hadn't confessed and being truthful with the individual, he says then he would be fooling his own self if he said that he hadn't sinned. And we know that sin isn't always us just getting into physical trouble, but getting into spiritual trouble. See? Because even if you think something wrong or negative of an individual, do you know that's a sin? If you just think, you know, so, well, Lord, don't bless that, you know, it's so over there, you know, don't bless her because she, you know, she broke up my happy home. She stole my husband. That woman stole my husband, and then you can say, well, this woman stole, I mean, this woman stole my husband, and then you can tell, this woman might say, that lady over there stole my man. So we know that in each category, you have the devil working. And so, like I said, so if you say you have not sinned, even you might not have physically just went out and did something wrong, but even if you think something negative of another individual, you know, you say, well, I don't like that person. You know, I hate Sister So-and-so because, you know, she always, you know, beat me to getting on that front pew. You know, she always singing first in the choir. They always give her to be the lead singer. You know, she always at the door to welcome, you know, the visitors that enter into the sanctuary. So if you're thinking along those lines, then you've already sinned. So the Bible says that if we said within ourselves that we hadn't sinned, the Bible says that we are deceiving our own self and that we are liars and that the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, he said his word is not in us. So I know a more encouraging question could be, or you could ask, is what is God's response to our admission of sin and the need for forgiveness? And the answer is, the Bible says that if we confess our sins, God is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins. Jesus has taken our sins, hallelujah, and the problem upon himself by dying in our place and rising again. That's why he can create in you and I and us a clean heart. Hallelujah. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Psalms 51 and 10. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. You know, our heart, the human heart, I'll say, on the surface, we may appear polished and polite, but we know that in this world of corruption and deceit, it appears polished and polite. But we encounter greed for more money, greed for a bigger house, more automobiles, more money in the bank. You know, and you can't live in 99 houses. You can't live in 15 cars. But like I said, we have the need for greed and lust and bigotry, addiction. And it can work in inner destruction. We find out that sooner or later those sins will become apparent. And we know this because we can look at the life of King Saul. He had a fatal flaw that it festered beneath the surface. His rebellions against God, he had been commanded not to take any of the spoils of war from the Amalekites. In the law of 1 Samuel 15 and 3, but after decisive victory, he left the Israelite, kept the best of the livestock for themselves. When the prophet Samuel confronted the king Saul, rationalized that he had kept the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to God. But this was just a mere cover-up for his sinful pride, which had soon erupted in defiance of the God he claimed to serve. And we know that God's remedy for rebellion is confession and repentance. Then like Saul, you might be rationalizing your sin. But you can go to God and confess your sins, because we know that you need to forsake your sins, whatever you've done wrong, before God and before it's too late. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. My time is running on down. I'm going to try to get this little bit in, and then I'm going to bump it up just a little bit, and then we're going to bring you the hymns of Zion, because I tell you, like I said, the time has just flown. Oh, boy, I just can't believe the time has just done jumped off of the wall. Oh, my God. So I'm going to try to get this last little bit in, and then we're going to bring you some hymns of Zion. We're going to open the lines for the prayer. And then following that, we're going to bring you hymns of Zion. So we're talking about feeding the wolf. We're talking about sin. We're talking about temptation. We're talking about lust. And we're talking about a way of escape. And the only way you can escape sinning is to keep your mind in the Word of God. Stay prayerful. Pray all through the day, even when you're at work, even when you're at play, recreational. You can pray throughout your day. Read God's Word. Read anything scriptural, you know, that says anything about the Word of God. Because a lot of times you might not have your Bible with you, you know, but then you can always, you know, everything now, like I said, is digital. So you can even go online and find you a devotional a set of scriptures that you can read throughout the day. You know, turn on your radio in your car, you know, get you a good Christian radio station to listen to. And that will help to keep your mind in perfect peace, because God said that those who keep their mind stayed on me, I'll keep you in perfect peace. So we're talking about, this was one of our key scriptures, and I think this wind up being our fifth key scripture reading on this morning. And it says that the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Genesis 3 and 12. Now, when Adam and Eve, hallelujah, ate from the forbidden tree, we find out that their eyes was open and they lost their innocence. God had went down through the Garden of Eden. He's asking the man a simple, but it was yet a penetrating question. Where are you? That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Genesis 3 and 9. We know that in the past, Adam had intimate fellowship with God. But now he's responded in fear and he hid himself from God. God's final question was more convincing than the first. "Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" That's verse 11. Then the blame game started. "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." We find out that verse 12, the man blamed God and the woman for his sins. The woman blamed the serpent rather than herself. So ever since that day in the Garden of Eden, we tend to blame others rather than ourselves, our sinful choices. When we sin, we must take responsibility. And we can do that by praying like David prayed. He said, "I acknowledge my sins to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden." And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Psalms 32 and 5. And you can pray and say, "Lord, help me not to excuse my sins and blame other persons. For if I don't admit my wrong, my sins will only worsen." So we first can just acknowledge that we have sinned. Repent from our sins. Admit that we are the blame. And God will forgive you. And he will put that error into the sea of forgetfulness. And to remember it anymore. Paul reminded us once again that when we are vulnerable to falling into sin, God is faithful. He will not let you and I be tempted beyond what we can bear. But when you and I are so tempted, he will also provide a way out. We know that it's easy to assume that God is not with us when we are tempted to sin. But this verse assumes us that he is present and not just standing idly by, but he is actively providing a way out so we can endure it. Hallelujah. So I would encourage you, the next time you feel tempted, Remember, you are not helpless. There is a divine provided way out. Look for the sign and follow it to safety. Lord, keep us mindful that you're present with us in time of temptation, that we need not fail. We need not fall, I'm sorry. Give us a desire to seek your way out so we can know the joy of living a life that is pleasing to you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Our sermon on tonight / this morning has been Feeding the Wolf. And that is that soul that desires to sin. So we have two sides, as we have found out. We have two sides. We have a good side and we have a bad side. We have a holy side and we have a sinful side. And a lot of times that sinful side want to come over and take over the holy side. But to just rectify that, you can pray and ask God to give you strength. You can fast, and that will really get the devil to moving. Now, not saying that he's not going to come back, because he will come back eventually. But you can send him running for a while. He can go and harass somebody else for the time being. But I'm just giving you ways to counterattack the devil and his little imps. You can send them to running by just quoting the word of God to Satan and his little imps, and they'll take off running. Not saying, like I said, that they will not return, because they will in time return. That's just the enemy MO. And he cannot do no more than God allow him to do. So just know that the enemy is limited in what he can do. He cannot do no more than God allows him to do. And God said that he will give you power. God will give you power. You can fight serpents. You know, you can eat deadly food, drink deadly poisonous, chemicals or food or whatever. And the Bible says that it will not hurt you, because God will equip you to, you can take it, may it be through drinking, may it be through intravenously. However, you can get it into your system. God will make a way of escape. So, like I said, you don't have to, when the devil come at you with tactics to sin, you don't have to buckle, but you can stand your ground. You can tell that demon, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I'm not going over there to jump on this guy because he was looking, at my wife. He called up on the phone, and he was talking to my wife on the phone. I'm not going to go over there and jump on him. I'm not going out there, knock his window out of his car, because if they call the police on you, then you got a charge. And then not only that, but you have to fix that window that you have broken out, and it's going to cost you some money. So, we just have to stay free of all of that tactics and all of that mess, that the enemy want to get you involved in. Want to get you involved in a gang, you say no. He want to get you involved in all of those activities, that we have now in our colleges and our universities. We have so much going on, that try to get you in the in crowd to belong. If you're not in this, you're not doing this, then you don't belong. But you know what? You don't have to belong. You're going there to get an education. You're not going there to be dictated by anybody. But you're going there to learn you're going there to learn I've lost my thought, my train of thought. But you're going there to get you a degree and whatever area or expertise that you think you're good at. You know, that's the reason why you're going, not to be part, you know, of getting into something that will soon get you into trouble, you know. So you want to stay clear of those activities that involve things that, you know, you have no business getting into. You know, just say, you know, no, thank you. You know, I don't want to be a part of that. And you can stay clear of that. And then if they start coming to you, start opening the Word of God on them, you know. Just bust out the Bible, you know, break out. And just tell them, you know, what thus says the Lord. And they're going to go on. They could call you crazy or, you know, he's a square or he's a holy roller or whatever. But you can call me Ray. You can call me TJ. You can call me whatever you want to call me as long as I know who I am and whose I am. So you know that you're a child of God. You're an heir of Christ. So we're heirs and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. You know, but you don't have to succumb to what the devil is offering you, that he's bringing to you, you know. So, like I said, if you would just tell the devil to get behind you, and you know that you got the power to tell him to get to stepping, you won't have no problem in him moving around, because he don't like God and God don't like him either. So ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something, hallelujah, I hope and I pray I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions that you'd want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, your most certainly encourage us in your correspondence. The God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Hallelujah. Send your correspondence to P.O. Box 1600, Guerra, California, 95020. This program has been produced by Block Talk Radio. This program has been the Old Ship of Zion. Your host and moderator has been Overseer Janice Ward. I'm going to open up the lines. Well, I call them the Studio Dial-Up Prayer Request Line. You are welcome to call in at this time. If you have any prayer petitions, now is the time to call in. Hallelujah. So we're going to give you a few more minutes and see if we have any prayers. You know, anybody need prayer, you're welcome to call in. If you don't have any prayer petitions, then we're going to move right along. We're going to now take you into our second phase of our program, and that is the Hymns of Zion to uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. So until we come again across these airways and skyways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. You are encouraged to buckle up with Jesus at your will because he is people friendly. So until we come across these skyways and airways, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next, Hymns of Zion. Hallelujah. Be encouraged and be blessed. Bye for now. Up next, Hymns of Zion. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Greetings.
Yes, I like your show.
Greetings. Hello.
Yes, I like your show very much. It's really good. Thank you for having it.
Oh, bless you.
Bless you. I'm about to lay down. I'll have a wonderful day in the Lord.
All right. Thank you so kindly, and you have a beautiful and blessed morning.
You too now. Thank you for being inspiration in my morning. You picked me up. Thank you.
All right. God bless you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.